Have you ever wondered how we lived without computers and smartphones?
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
It was rather strange. The other morning, I woke up before the sun came up, and I was laying in bed just thinking back over the past 10, 25, 30, 50 years for that matter, of my time working in the broadcast industry. And during this time, there have been many changes in the broadcast industry. And I was thinking what it was like in the first studio that I ever worked in, the first time I was ever on the air in a real radio station with an actual paycheck. I was still in high school. While most of my friends in school worked at grocery stores like Wegmans in upstate New York, bagging groceries, I was in a studio playing records. Not bad. But I look back at that time, and I thought just how advanced we were as a society with our technology, our medicine, our automobiles, our color television sets. Even FM radio was growing. Back then, my big goal was to have a really good stereo system with a nice turntable, big pair of speakers, a receiver. That was the thing. And I look back at those days, and we really didn't want for anything. We had our news, we had our newspapers, we had our lives, and I think, honestly, in many ways, we had a better life than I think sometimes we actually have today. Because while we had all these modern conveniences, from air conditioning to indoor plumbing to automobiles, we also had a deeper relationship and interaction, at least in most places, with other people. I thought about that little radio station that I started at in a small town in upstate New York. I can remember its studios like it was yesterday. Coming in there on a Saturday morning, early on a Saturday morning. It was quiet coming in. And back then everything was 45 RPM records and tape machines and what have you. It took a little bit of effort, but it seemed so modern and up to date. And it was at that time that I took a real interest to go into radio. We didn't have computers, for billing. The most modern technology in the office was an adding machine and an electric typewriter. And somehow, we were able to operate a business, had listeners, and from what I gather, looking back now, it was a profitable little radio station in its day. When I went to electronics school, I was introduced to the concept for the first time, for real, about the potential for computers and integrated circuit technology. I didn't know much about it. I mean, I knew about it. Electronics was my hobby all through high school, and I read about these things in magazines like Popular Science or Popular Electronics that used to be, well, popular in my day, like other magazines. And I got my first introduction to it in like 1972. I'd never seen anything that I had that used any kind of an integrated circuit. They came out, I think, in like 1968, but they hadn't gone mainstream yet, except in some of the first calculators that were really expensive that could do some incredible things for mathematics. And for the most part, most of us in the country, we really didn't know much about computers. We knew they existed. We knew the government had them for the IRS. We knew that big banks now had them. But they really didn't impact our daily lives. We had our automobiles, our television sets, our stereos, our heat and air conditioning. And for the most part, we cooked our meals at home. We didn't eat out as much as we do today. It was a different world. And we were told that all this technology was going to vastly improve our lives going forward. I can remember in the 1980s, you remember these first commercials coming out promoting the idea of the PC, the personal computer? Remember those? I remember those advertisements very well. And honestly, as much of a technical guy as I was, I really didn't have an interest in the computer. I just didn't. I was content at that point in my life with the engineering that I was doing in radio, where computers really didn't have a place, except down the road, we could see it good for business and for word processing. And now entire radio stations can be run in a miniature computer on my desk right now as I'm recording this program. I've got a miniature computer sitting here that is actually running the Truth to Ponder radio network. Hard to believe. In this tiny computer are thousands of song titles. It has a program to play, well, radio programs like Truth to Ponder and announcements. And a lot will be done with this computer over the next several months. Technology can be good, but you can also be a slave to your technology. In the 1950s, as television began to really roll out in the United States, some people call them idiot boxes. And they were afraid that people would become so glued to their television, they would just sit around and get fat and really stop talking to each other. Stop being a family to each other. You want to know something? They were right. Television was pretty bad, but computers can be even worse. Now, granted, in order for me to produce this radio program, I have to have one. And I generally, in my home studio, have two different screens so I can look at the material that I need to do on the program, and then the software to record and edit is on another screen. And that's how I generally function. When I'm on the road, we just try to do it all in one small laptop. I will admit that looking back in the days of radio when I had to produce commercials, in the 1970s, using tape recorders and all this other stuff and turntables, it took time. It took a lot of effort. Today, the quality and the ability of putting it together is so much easier. So, yeah, it's a good thing. But we still have that never-ending problem. Do we rule technology, or is our technology beginning to rule us? Now, I had a lot of things I was going to talk about today, and as I started the program and as I sat down, I felt very led to spend at least a few minutes up front talking about our dependence upon technology and the internet and everything that goes with it. 1975, that's 46 years ago. I'm a newlywed. And I'm looking at the technology we had in our home. My wife and I at the time, we both worked. And we had a Magnavox, I think it was like a 23-inch, maybe 25, I can't remember, color TV set. We had a stereo system, and we had a telephone. And, of course, your kitchen had just your basic appliances. We didn't have microwave ovens. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We didn't have a lot of things. Didn't have video games. But I look back at those days. I look at the life that I had at that time. And I know it's easy to always have that good memories of years gone by. And even when you think about the difficult times, in many ways, it was still a very good time. And it was a good life. Today, I think we get too stressed out. Sometimes we can get too close to the news. And when I say getting too close to the news, I'm not meaning that we should just ignore it, but I think that the 24/7 news cycle that is perpetuated on cable and satellite TV can really wear you down. I mean, it really does. And we begin to recognize that a lot of what we're seeing in the media today is pure propaganda. I look back and I'm trying to think, how much real propaganda were we getting from television, let's say, in the 70s? I'm sure there was some, because good public relations and people that know how to manipulate people can plant stories. I get it. But today, our news media is openly partisan, generally to the left of the spectrum, because they perceive that's where the money, power, and influence are for them. Conservative values don't benefit most of the media outlets because conservatives don't want to live in fear. The left needs fear to keep you motivated. If you don't believe me, look at the coronavirus of the past year and a half. Hard to believe. 18 months of Dr. Fauci. And honestly, I'm just going to give you my opinion. I think that his days in the spotlight may be coming to an end. I think they're going to throw him under the bus. It was Stalin that said, you know, he really needed the useful idiots. And Fauci has played his part. 18 months. For 18 months, he was able to successfully move the goalpost, convince people of things that were not true, have people living in fear. You don't need a mask. Yeah, wear a mask. It's patriotic. Oh, wear three masks. It's safer. You'll be healthier. And all this went on, and people were just being pulled hither and thro on every word that just rolled out of his mouth. And how many times did he change his mind during the course of the past year? A lot. And so with our now 24/7 news cycle that is so partisan, the fact that we have our smartphones and our computers and our technology, we are beaten up with Fauci and all the weird stuff around the clock. We never have time to get away almost. Not long ago, my wife and I took a little break from the news. We put music on in the background, turned the news off for a couple of days. You want to know something? We felt a lot better. Yeah, I need to do a certain amount of this so I can help you sort through it. There is so much out there. There's so many opinions out there. There's so many lies out there. Technology is a tool. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. In and of itself, a piece of technology is rather, and I'm going to use this expression, rather agnostic. It's neither for something or against something. It's just there. A hammer can be used for good. It nails nails into wood, and you can build a house with a hammer. You can also hurt somebody with a hammer. You can damage things with a hammer. But the hammer is just a tool. And so is technology. One of the hardest things that I'm having to deal with personally for myself. One of the hardest things I have to deal with for myself on a personal level is this. Breaking away from the technology and taking time away. We need these times of refreshment. And while there's nothing wrong with technology, Let me just give you an example of what I mean by the overuse of technology. I'm going to go back a little while now. I can remember a couple of years ago, I had been was going to be speaking at a church. And I got up early to go to that church, and I needed really to get something to eat before I got there, because by the time everything would be over, it would be after 12 noon. And between the drive and everything else, it would have been too long for me to go without eating. A lot of people, you know, it's just not a good thing when you get to a certain age, when you start pushing 60, it's not wise to skip a lot of meals. And so I stopped at this little restaurant and went in by myself. They got me a little quiet table off to the side, and I could see, I know I've shared this story before and some of you may have heard it, I could see this guy sitting at a table with two young children, a boy and a girl. I'm not good at guessing ages, but I'm going to try to guess that this was the father and this was his weekend with the children. And I would say the boy was probably 11, 12, the girl 13, maybe 14. I could be off a year either way or two, but, you know, just a general look you could tell. And all three are sitting at this table in this wonderful, delightful little restaurant that has good food, I might add. And nobody really cares about the food before them. Nobody's talking to each other. All three, father, son, and daughter, they're sitting there on their phones. Just, I think the girl was texting by the way her thumbs were moving. You know, kids talk with their thumbs. Little boy's probably playing a game, and the dad is just probably on Facebook or reading the news. And the whole time I was there, I had time to unwind and get ready to go up to the church where I was going to be at, just a few minutes away. It disturbed me. I'm trying to think about the message I'm going to deliver, and I kept looking over there without trying to stare, just kind of glancing over. And from the time that my first cup of coffee arrived to the time that I paid the check, and they were leaving about the same time, none of the three ever spoke to each other. They were just glued to their phones. There was no interaction. And then I realized something else that was also sad. Just happened to think of this. The way they were dressed, the time of the day, the community we were in, it was obvious that nobody was going to any kind of a church. I think that was long out of their family life or their life in general. They belong to what is now, we know, the majority of the United States population that is no longer affiliated with any kind of a church, synagogue, or mosque of any type. The majority are no longer plugged into anything, quote, religion, period. And those that are into any kind of religion, we've talked about this last week, the majority of them are in woke churches that don't even believe the gospel anymore. So true Christians are rapidly becoming the minority. So what has our technology wrought for us? What has it given us these past 50 years of my life, probably longer? When you think of my dad's life in the 50 years before I started really getting involved. I mean, radio, AM radio now is about 100 years old. I started, it was about 50 years old. And look what happened in those 50 years. Go back to my grandparents' time, born in the very late 1800s, like 1897 or 1898 or 1900. Look at those born then and what they saw in their lifetime. The telegraph and the kerosene lantern giving way to electric lighting, radio, voice communication. By 1936, and this is what I find amazing, by 1936, my dad tells me that the New York World's Fair, 1936, remember, the vacuum tube and radio and all that were only just a decade or two old. There have been experimentations in the early 1900s, but nothing of any consequence. And now, in 1936, they're already beginning to demonstrate the idea of television at the New York World's Fair, 1936. Of course, all that got pushed to the side for World War II and came into being instead of in 1942, more like 1948. Look at all the technology. And the truth is, some of it has been very beneficial. And a lot of it has been very, well, it's become a time bandit. Young people today have an unprecedented library of knowledge at their fingertips, in their devices, their phones, their tablets, and their computers. All of us have that. But sadly, too few actually use the internet for solid research and learning. Mostly it's social media. And scary, more than a third of all internet traffic on any given day is pornography. Yeah, video gaming, pornography, social media. Those are the things. Watching videos like on YouTube. Those are the things that most people spend their time with technology. I feel like one of the rare ones. I try to use it to look for news stories and items and things that the mainstream media doesn't want to tell you. They don't want to share with you. They want to keep you perpetually in the dark. They want to control you. So how do you use your technology? Does it run your life or do you run it? Back in my younger years working in radio, when I first started, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the work in the early days. Coming into work, coming into that studio, being prepared, having some topical things to share. See, back then, you may have had a wristwatch, but the radio station gave you the time, the temperature, the weather, and most stations, not all, but most stations gave you a small amount of news for a few minutes every hour, just the big stories of the day. And life went on. If you had told me, and, you know, in the late 1970s, you started getting all news radio stations, I would never have believed in that, really, who would listen to an all-news station? Well, now, look at it. You have Fox News, you have CNN, you have CNN headlines, you got Fox Business, you got CNBC, you got MSNBC, Newsmax, One America Network. Apparently, there's a market for it. I can remember all my life growing up, I was privileged. I'm just saying that in a tongue-in-cheek way. Living near New York City, we didn't have just three TV channels or two like most people did around the United States. We had Channel 2, we had Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, 9, 11, and 13, and then some UHF. We had a lot of TV channels, so we had plenty to choose from. But even my grandparents would say back then, look at all these TV channels and nothing worth watching most of the time. Today, we have cable TV and satellite. Satellite providers can give you 200 channels or more. And how many times have you said, if you have a dish like that, man, I can go through all these channels. There's really not that much to watch. And honestly, and I've spent one evening kind of just playing around with it for the first time. I very seldom do. I only found a couple of TV programs that were worth watching out of all those hundreds of channels. The other thing that technology has given us, which I find dangerous, are video games. people get addicted to them, and it destroys families. It destroys kids' lives. They just end up. Go back to 1999. Those youngsters in Colorado. Early, very high intensity, excellent video DOS video games. They couldn't get enough, and they ended up shooting people in a school. Oftentimes, our video devices become the electronic babysitter when we don't want to deal with the kids because both parents are working. Both parents are tired. It's hard to get meals put together, so you eat out or you eat junk out of a box thrown in a microwave. And the kids are no longer attached to their parents. They're not attached to a church. They're not attached to anything of value. They become loners. They become depressed. They become prey for the demonic. And if you really think about it, we cast them to the wind because we're trying to make that mortgage payment. We have a car payment. The insurance is due. Oh, now we have health insurance we have to pay for. I'll tell you one thing. All these modern conveniences were supposed to make our life a lot easier. And I challenge that today. In some ways, yes, but why is our life so more intense, so more involved, so more demanding than it was 20, 30, and 40, and 50 years ago? I remember, look, I worked some long hours early on in my career. Just the nature of the beast. That's just how it is when you're young. I used to get up at 4:30. I had to be at work by 6 a.m. And I didn't get home till like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Just the way it was in radio back in those days. But I generally had the weekend off. And at night, when I got home, we ate dinner at a table. It didn't come from a fast food place. It wasn't delivered by DoorDash or something along that line. And it certainly wasn't a pizza delivery. We ate real food. We were healthier. Slept better. Only watched a limited amount of news because there was only a limited amount of news to watch. You weren't inundated hour after hour, beat over the head. I didn't have instantaneous communication with a cell phone or texting or email. You were able to do what we should be able to do in our life, to compartmentalize, to, all right, go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember, a time for everything. Remember that song, the birds did it years ago, to every season, turn, turn, turn. There's a time to wake up, a time to sleep, time to work, time to rest. You just go down the whole list. And the problem is, in our modern society, in spite of all of our technology, we're not managing our time at all. Time has begun to manage us, and the important things we need to reserve time for end up being pushed off to the side. When I started this segment that's kind of running long, I never expected to be talking about this technology, but it's been on my mind for several days. We'll change gears on the other side. I want to talk about enjoying your short-term freedom. We'll be talking about it again tomorrow and probably Thursday. Just a little update. We are up on satellite now, Galaxy 19, an audio channel. Look for us. It is the Truth to Ponder radio channel. It should be channel 1001. There have been some questions about that. It should be up there and running. And if there's any corrections, I'll let you know tomorrow. This is an opportunity, I believe. Those that have listened to the program Truth to Ponder understand, thoroughly understand, that I'm trying to put together a program and a way to communicate and keep information going to you that is not suppressed by the tech media, the tech tyrants, and the like. I don't want to be dependent upon commercial radio operators on AM and FM. Shortwave, it's kind of there. Most people don't get it, but a lot of you do. Free-to-air satellite, once again, it's kind of off the radar screen of the big tech companies, so it's a way we can stay connected and communicate. So pray about this. It's not free, the satellite. We're just praying that God will open the doors or get a couple of partners that need some airtime and we can share it. And I think it'll all work out quite well. There are millions of those receivers out there. And if you want to hear what the radio feed sounds like, just go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Besides the link for each of the daily radio shows, there is a link to the new radio channel. You can hear it from there as well. And if you believe in what we're doing, would you consider helping us financially? Our mailing address, even though we're in Florida, the mail's being taken care of, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, that's number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia. And the zip code is 30537.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Oil of Reach. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, Naomi tells Ruth to bathe and perfume herself and then go down to Boaz. This is the fateful night, the night when Ruth will turn Boaz's eyes to her and have him place his garment over her. Now Boaz is called the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. He's a type of Messiah. So Ruth is a type of you. And so in the same way, we want to turn Messiah's eyes to us. How do you do it? Well, how did Ruth do it? First of all, she bathed and then she perfumed herself. What kind of perfume? Oil of Olay, Calvin Klein, Eternity, Chanel number 5? No, the word for perfume that Ruth used in Hebrew is reach. It comes from the Hebrew word ruach, and ruach means spirit, the spirit. So how do we turn Messiah's eyes to us? Well, we bathe, we cleanse ourselves, and we dab ourselves with the spirit. We adorn ourselves with the spirit, the perfume of the ruach, the Holy Spirit. You see, in Hebrew, ruach and reach, spirit and perfume, are virtually identical. So the way to make yourself beautiful in God is to live by the Spirit, and you'll become beautiful. And the way to have a sweet life is to live in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that makes life sweet and you beautiful. So take some beauty tips from Ruth today. Bathe, that is, cleanse yourself in God's grace. Put on the reach, that is, apply the Spirit to your life liberally. Then you'll go right into the presence of your beloved, your kinsman redeemer, and your heart will be filled with His sweetness. Want more? Ask for Uncovering His Feet. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discovered the place where the lost Ark of the Covenant was? Well, newly revealed ancient discovery, just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors, you'll love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire is daily spiritual vitamins guaranteed to revitalize your walk. Or a free New Testament. So how do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join me to bring it back to them, to bless those who blessed you and reach the unreached peoples from every nation, every tribe. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be blessed. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the nice Jewish boy, at Box 1111 in Lodi. That's L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah HaGoel, the Kinsman Redeemer.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Today I want to share on this second half just a few thoughts, a couple of questions that came in from a listener that I thought would be good to share with you, maybe to answer some of your questions. and let you know some of the things that are going on behind the scenes here at Truth to Ponder. Some people, and this person wrote me last week. By the way, we are in Florida this week and for probably several weeks. Don't worry about if you're using the mail. It's all being taken care of. We can keep the one address and everything is fine. And so we were debating how to best handle it. And God provided a wonderful way to keep it all going. So we're thankful for some really good Christian friends to help us out during these weeks that we are in Florida. This week, I've got some graduations, my wife and I, to attend, a wedding to perform, and preparing for a transmitter installation project and upgrade while we are down here. And a couple of other things in ministry. I need to visit a church up probably near Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, and a whole lot more. So it's going to be a busy month, 5 weeks in Florida. And so keep us in prayer that we can make the schedule. It makes it hard to record when we're in Florida currently. We don't really have the setup there that I need, but we will make do and do our best. We have pre-recorded some of the shows for the first part of this week before we headed out in order to give us time to get set up when we get on the other end. So we just keep us in prayer during this period of time. One of the letters that I've received recently came from a listener who listens on a fairly regular basis on the frequency 5950, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, and also listens as a podcast, and was wondering why I air the program so many times and why am I looking to air it even more. Well, there are several reasons, and let me see if I can explain why I'm trying to do it the way that I am, and if you understand the methodology, it may help. Unfortunately, I cannot get the 10 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. It already belongs to somebody else, and trying to find other hours is also an additional issue, especially heading in certain directions. The 5950 and the 9395, those are the two frequencies we primarily use at WRMI. There are a couple of little airings on Monday and Tuesday, but we really don't have a signal going west at all during the week. And so one of the projects is to come up with another frequency and help rearrange some transmitter stuff at WRMI this summer to allow a signal to go to the west. A lot of people cannot hear us in Texas, can't hear us in Oklahoma, can't hear us in a lot of places, California, Arizona, just to name some places. And so we want to get a better signal going west. We're doing fairly well with the signal going north. The suggestion of maybe the frequencies we ought to consider using, it's a problem right now trying to coordinate frequencies around the world. There's a high frequency coordination committee that meets twice a year, and WRMI is trying to get as many usable frequencies as possible. Let me tell you, you may not know this, but maybe the Voice of America doesn't want to do as much shortwave. Maybe the BBC, maybe other groups and ministries are kind of walking away from shortwave. But the Chinese and many Islamic nations are embracing it and increasing it, just so you know. And so trying to get a frequency, I know some I'd love to use, but I can't use them. Chinese have them. And you may not have a collision here, but you would in other places with the two on the same frequency. So there's a lot going on in the background. I'd like to have at least a couple of times a day where the East Coast, a couple of times a day, the central part of the country, and a couple of times a day reaching out west to fully cover the nation and Canada. It's important that this word get out. The use of now what we're adding in the free-to-air satellite on Galaxy 19, haven't decided exactly. We may rearrange the schedule of when this program plays. It may be more, it may be less. Looking for your input. Just praying about that. And the other question was, can I bring Dr. Gales back? And yes, I plan to. During these last couple of months, the schedules the two of us have just made it impossible for us to be able to connect together to do the program. We plan on doing it probably after we get back to our Georgia studio location in the second week of July. I plan on bringing Dr. Gales back. By then, both of our schedules will actually be more conducive. And I really miss having him on the program one, two, sometimes three times a week. And yes, I do plan on doing that, just so you know, and getting into some other topics as well. I may not get to it today, but I want to just share two things that I want to talk about tomorrow. Before I do that, like I say, keep us in prayer this week on these projects. Keep the new satellite channel in prayer and understand why I'm trying to do more shortwave. Podcasting is great. By the way, you can now find this podcast on Edify, which is a Christian podcast repository distribution point. Look for Truth to Ponder. I'm trying to remember if they use the two or the word. I think it is the word Truth to Ponder. And you should find it. And it is now there on a Christian podcasting site. I was a little concerned they may not be interested because we do talk about some serious issues. And sometimes some of these Christian sites don't want to get in the fray. Not all, but some I've run into get a little bit concerned. So just bear that in mind, that you can now hear it as a podcast from Edify. I think it updates there later in the afternoon. We normally have the podcast ready for its first two distributions, which are through a company called Anchor and Spreaker, about 12 noon. And the other ones catch up to those feeds automatically later on in the day. So I'm not exactly sure what time, but normally by later in the afternoon, it should be available at a lot of other sites as well. As long as that door is open, I am going to use it. And I think that we need to understand that when God gives you an opportunity, even though it may be a door that someday will close, why not use it? And so we will. One of the questions that was raised in this one letter that I answered last week, and I'm going to get into this a little bit more tomorrow and again Thursday. We had some programs that are coming out that you've already heard regarding COVID and its cure. Why is the ability now to treat this disease been so ignored by the mainstream media? We did a program on that, and I want to talk more about it and what it really means. I've got some material here that I'm not going to have time to get to today. This is what I was planning to do for today. It'll be on tomorrow's program. But everything about the way we responded to COVID-19, and as I said in the first part of the program, there's no doubt in my mind that Dr. Fauci's days as somebody you see highly touted by the mainstream media and the White House, they're coming to an end. His usefulness has been served, and he's no longer needed in the equation. I mean, seriously, why do we need Dr. Fauci any longer to talk to us about COVID-19? And you know this day is coming for several reasons. Number one, if you hadn't noticed, and you know, I guess I worked in media long enough where I begin to look for what we call trends and changes and subtle changes in the line. Public relations, when they want to move opinion, they move it gradually, and then it takes on a life of its own, and you can begin to move, quote, the herd in one direction to another. Sometimes it's not easy, and it takes a little time. But let's go back and understand, what was Dr. Fauci's real purpose in terms of a new world order, in terms of the deep state, in terms of the globalists, in terms of the folks at Davos, like Klaus Schwab and his global reset? What function did he play? He was the one who could be the foil against President Trump. The globalists hate and despise President Trump because he was an interrupter to their plans. You cannot have a strong and prosperous United States. It ruins the worldwide globalistic plan. And so Trump had to be removed at all cost. I'm going to just give you my theories. This is my conjecture. So I'm going to preface this up front. This is me thinking out loud to you. When Fauci said in 2017 that in the first term of Trump's administration, he would face a worldwide pandemic, he already knew. From the time that he came down that escalator in 2015, and they couldn't get the steel put together as well as they thought in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and Ohio, and Trump won, remember? Those were the swing states that Hillary was going to win. There was a 98%, 99% chance that Hillary Clinton would be the new president in 2016. And it didn't happen. A little overconfident and not enough cheating. This is my opinion. They had 4 years to fix the cheating, 4 years to run fake investigations and phony charges. 4 years. We know now, in retrospect, if you're intellectually honest, and a lot of people on the left and CNN do not have one honest bone in their body. They love lying to you. We know the Russia hoax was a hoax. We know the entire narrative about January the 6th is nonsense. We know the election was stolen. I don't care what the Washington Compost and the New York Times thinks. They've been so wrong so many times and they lie. You cannot convince me in the state of Georgia that Joe Biden won. There's no way. And I have to wonder, if time proves that it was stolen, what's going to happen then? We could have a mess on our hands. That's why there's this rush to change how voting is done by the Democrats in the House and the Senate, trying to pass, H.R. 1. They're going to get all this where all the rules are now run by the federal government, even for your state election. No ID required, except when you have to cash a check or buy a pack of cigarettes or alcohol or anything important. Voting, you don't need one, which means anybody that crossed the border that doesn't even speak English can get a ballot in Spanish and vote, or any other language. Doesn't matter. Cheating is the only way the Democrats going forward can keep up this lie. My thinking on this when it comes to Dr. Fauci is simple. They planned for this pandemic. They already were beginning to sow the seeds in 2017, probably after he won in 2016 and there was nothing they could do. And they knew that without some major disaster, Trump could very likely win. So they needed a way to cover cheating. They needed a way to tilt it, to stack the deck, whatever you want to call it, and they did. And they did quite well, I might add. Mail-in voting, hundreds of thousands of ballots. We don't know where they come from. Yet the mainstream media says, oh, it was a fair election. No, it was not. And they know it in their heart, but they don't want you to know it. the forces that want to control your life and put you in poverty. Klaus Schwab has said it. I'll remind you that he said it multiple times. You will own nothing and you will be happy. The day is coming. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow. I've got some material that I've been putting together. How does this all play out? Our economy is going to be in shatters in no time. It's going to be destroyed. We're borrowing and printing money. You know, in just a matter of weeks, one in every $5 that are out there in the United States today was just printed and put out in circulation, meaning that the value of your money has gone down 27%. If you don't believe me, look at food prices, look at gasoline prices. Prices on everything will gradually keep going up. You can't print money without devaluing the money that is already in circulation. I've got a good friend of mine. I need to get on the program. He understands economics better than I ever could. He taught it for years, and he rejects the Keynesian model. He also believes, and you know, he actually mints silver coins, but that's not what I'm bringing him on for. He just has an insight of how our fiat currency and monetary system works in the United States and how it's intertwined to the global economy and how they want to take America, the United States, and its currency down. He understands it. I believe we're going to see, you know, we don't have to have, you know, in the 1970s, inflation was pretty obvious. Now it's just the value of our money goes down, and so we don't, it takes more dollars coming in. If you're on a fixed income like I am, because I'm retired, the value of the money that I have in our investments and everything else is pretty consistent and cannot rise as fast as the rate of government-created inflation by printing all this money. And once again, we're going to come into that cycle. Read an interesting article about the turnings that occur, the four turns that you take, and how many times it's happened, 7 times in like 500 years, where you look at the greatest generation, the first turn, then you get into the, from 19, whatever, to the 1950s to 64, then 64 to 84, 84 to 2000, and to now. We are in this phase four where it all has to kind of collapse again in order for us to rebuild. We're coming into a very dangerous time, and I'm going to share that information probably on tomorrow's program. It's really good information to understand that this pattern is so predictable, and we are in it. Listeners ask, you know, why don't we talk about the things we could have done for COVID-19? What is the rush on this vaccine? A lot of politicians, a lot of news media have been, and a lot of people have been thoroughly deceived about this so-called vaccine that's not a vaccine. There are too many things about it that are very unsettling to me. Extremely unsettling to me. We've never done this on a global scale. And there are too many reputable doctors, I shared on the program already, that really worry about what are the long-term ramifications of our bodies producing this toxic spike protein. When people first started talking about the vaccine, and I would talk with them, I never felt that we're going to have, and I've said this before, a lot of people said that we're going to get the vaccine and everybody would be dead in 90 days, and I'm going, no, it's not going to work that way. But there'll be a lot of people dying earlier than they would have expected. And here's what I really believe. The monetary system, Social Security in America, and all these payouts and unfunded retirements, we can't afford them. And so I really believe that a lot of people are going to die sooner than they would have normally because of how this vaccine, over time, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, a lot of people that normally would live to be, let's say, 82 are going to be dying at 75. And this is what I really believe, and I've prayed about this at length. Lord, you know, what's going to happen? We're just going to see the baby boomers are going to be knocked off faster in their retirement by these vaccines. And there's such a rush to get your life back. And see, this is what I'll talk about a bit tomorrow. Enjoy your summer of freedom because it will be taken away. They're going to find a reason, maybe a new COVID variant or those evil unvaccinated people. They're the problem. We got to do something. It's going to come. So enjoy your summer of freedom. Enjoy your hot dog in the backyard with a couple of your friends 6 feet apart on the 4th of July. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day. I hope you enjoy your vacation to the beach. I hope you enjoy your time in the mountains or visiting family. I hope you enjoy Labor Day because sometime after Labor Day, about ironically the same time we get into the flu and cold season, mark my words, it will begin to change again. And I'll be explaining that on tomorrow's program. I've been putting together a lot of material on that. Like I say, the powers that be don't want a viable treatment, yet we know doctor after doctor has put their reputation and their livelihood on the line to say, look, I've been treating COVID-19 patients, and if we'd done what I'm doing and others are doing, 85% of those that died would never have died. They wanted this to be a deadly disease. They need this disease to steal elections, to steal the House, the Congress, to steal from you and to steal your freedom and to put you into slavery. That's the day we're coming into. These COVID cures, as one listener wrote, have been shoved under the rug to be hidden. You can't talk about them on Fascist Book or Twitter or YouTube. They don't want to talk about it. We can talk about Fauci now, and we can talk about the escape from the lab in Wuhan for the first time. Because mission accomplished, Trump is gone. Now it's time to get rid of Fauci and move on to a new technique to control the people. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's program. We're building something here, and you're to thank for it. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to be running out of time shortly, so I got to get all this in. I need your help, not just financially. Yeah, I do, but for paying for airtime and the satellite, we're just praying God's going to take care of it too. And God has been faithful. He really has. But I think the satellite's going to be a unique thing in the days and weeks ahead. This first month is going to be a little bit rocky, but we'll get there. I need help in getting the webpage updated. I need help in a lot of little things. And even someday, I need someone to help produce the radio program and even give me a day or two away. Would you pray that that person is out there that has the ability to do it? I can't do it for them, and we're going to have to figure something out. Would you keep us in prayer? If you believe in what we're doing, here's our mailing address. It is basically Ancient Word Radio is our parent ministry, so that's if you want to write a check. Ancient Word Ministry, Ancient Word Radio at 21 Berkshire, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane. We are in Sky Valley. Oh, by the way, Berkshire Lane number 263 in Sky Valley, Georgia. And the zip code is 30537. That's 21 Berkshire Lane number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia. Zip code 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.